Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. I hope you're well as we get near to Christmas time. Whatever you've got going on is that time of year, and everything starts to feel just that bit frenzied and just a little bit overwhelming sometimes. I really hope that if you're listening to this when it first airs, you'll join us on Wednesday, the 10th of December, for a free webinar on the Sober Club. It's called Bossing a Sober Christmas. It doesn't matter if you are just sober curious, or if you've been sober for years, or if you're not interested in sobriety, but you just want some tips around a calm festive season. There'll be some suggestions of great NLP tips and stuff that you can do just to, you know, help with family dynamics and help reframe some of the kind of stress around the Christmas period. So join us Wednesday, 10th of December, if you're in time for that, depending on when you listen to this show, of course. And then also, I just want you to save the date in your diary. Friday, the 2nd of January, I'm going to be hosting a special workshop online, Setting Your Intentions for 26. It's going to be a real deep dive into what you want to let go of for the coming year, you know, what you want to let go of from 25 and what you actually want to manifest for 2026. So we'll use I'll throw everything at it, if you like, the emotional freedom technique stuff, the NLP stuff that I do. We'll really look at how you can, get the life you desire next year, or at least give it a good shot. So I'll have a special guest as well. We'll announce that soon. But it's Friday, 2nd of January, at 4 p.m. There's a little cost for that one, not much, but it goes back to our Sober Club Give Back Fund. So for any of those registrations, if you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find the links there. While we're on webinars, just in case it's of interest to you, I, as you know, I'm sure many people listening to this know that I train people to be holistic sober coaches. It's unbelievably rewarding work. It's so often people find that once they've ditched the booze, they start to want to, you know, perhaps look towards a different purpose, a different career sometimes, just doing some work that helps, you know, share their gift, share their message. And so the sober coach training that I offer is really comprehensive. And if you just want to find out a little bit more about what it might mean to be a sober coach, or even just to kind of find your purpose, then join us for yet another webinar. So I've told you about three now, on Monday, the 15th of December. It's definitely not salesy. It will just help you have a think about your purpose for the future. So you'd be very welcome to join us. It's free of charge. Please share the link with any friends or colleagues who you think might be interested as well. Again, if you just go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find the link there for the Explore a Career as a Sober Coach free webinar. That's Monday, 15th of December. So my guest today, I think, is really, really fascinating. I'm sure that if you've heard me, my podcast, or you've heard me speak on this show many times about what I really believe is, you know, hugely important, and that is the topic of self-care. Just how important it is to recognize that we have to show up for ourselves, even though at times it can feel like we're people pleasers and we just want everyone else to be okay. But actually showing up for ourselves is just absolutely critical. And I think sometimes it can really take a long time to do this. People who quit alcohol will typically find that this will come up for them at some point. You know, they'll kind of get to that point where they realize that they're worried about going to an event, perhaps, where other people are drinking. Not because they're nervous that they'll have a craving to drink, but because they're nervous that they might start thinking, if I don't drink, the other person will be upset because they're drinking and they want some company. You know, it's crazy, actually, really, when you think about it, that we would be concerned about what someone else puts in their mouth. It just doesn't make any difference. But alcohol is so emotive, isn't it? It's such an emotive topic that we We get sort of drawn into this crazy situation where we sometimes people can sort of end up drinking purely because they're nervous for someone else who might want them to, you know, which clearly is crazy. But we do need to learn the art of properly setting boundaries and, you know, really respecting our own autonomy, if you like, and our own authenticity. So, to that end, my guest is psychologist, chartered psychologist, Susie Redding. Love the title of her book, How to Be Selfish. It's not quite what you think. It's a really good take on, you know, respecting your boundaries and putting really good self-care in place. So I really hope you enjoy the interview. Just one more mention for that webinar, in case you're listening to this when it airs, you know, the first day it airs, Wednesday, 10th of December. That's probably tonight if you're around at 7:30. If you go to thesoberclub.com/events and click on the link there for Bossing a Sober Christmas, it's free of charge. It would be lovely to see you. And if you're interested in becoming a sober coach, or you just want to explore what it might mean, then again, there's a webinar on Monday, the 15th of December.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest is Susie Redding, a chartered psychologist and one of the UK's leading self-care and self-advocacy experts. I mean, you've got so many great books, Susie. I don't know where to start, really. But what caught my eye was seeing the title of the new one, hot off the press, How to Be Selfish. I mean, I absolutely love it. But before we get into all of that, and happy to chat about your other books, because so much of the stuff you do is really relevant to the people listening to this, I think. But just take us back a bit. Have you got any kind of story to share? Because it's usually something that means that people end up doing the work they do.
Sure. Okay. So I would have said, up until the last couple of years, I would have said that it was my life experience colliding with the terminal illness of my father and becoming a mum all at the same time that set me on a path to empower people with the tools of self-care, which made really beautiful sense of my qualifications. So I'm a chartered psychologist. I also spent a decade working as a personal trainer, and I'm also a yoga teacher. So self-care was the thing that kind of brought all of those different skills together. Mm. But I think it was when perimenopause hit that I realized that that life lesson that I learnt becoming a mum, losing dad, was much, much bigger than self-care. It was actually a lesson in self-advocacy. And I think I'd become quite skilled in taking care of self, of nurturing self, as well at the same time as being the good girl, taking care of everyone else. But when perimenopause hit, I realized that it was time for me to start to receive. I needed to live like I matter as well. So that is where How to Be Selfish came from.
Right.
Having to learn that, you know, I've got to, people aren't good mind readers.
So let's dig into that a bit more then. So I'm seeing the subtle difference. You know, it's one thing to decide, okay, I'm actually going to, you know, rest this afternoon, or I'm going to have a face mask, or I'm going to run a nice bath with essential oils or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's something else being able to actually ask for help and support.
It is. It is. And I think that a lot of people will have got to a point where they feel more comfortable with nurturing self. I would still argue that there's still a lot of guilt and shame around turning attention inwards and prioritizing self. But I think we've made some progress there. But there is a missing piece of the puzzle here where a lot of women and a lot of men don't feel like it's okay to show up honestly in relationship, to voice feelings, to voice needs, and to lean on others. And I certainly learnt the hard way that I need it for my health, but I don't just need it for my health. I actually need it for the health and well-being of my relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true.
Reciprocity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I think back to, and it's not just me, a lot of the clients that I work with will say the same thing, that their drinking, for example, ramps up when the kids are young because they're going at it 24/7. They're exhausted, literally, you know, working and sometimes caring for elderly parents, and they've got young kids and they're trying to hold it all together and they're trying to keep the house okay, and on and on and on. And you're absolutely right. You know, we can talk to them about, well, factor in some time for self-care, you know, so when the baby, you know, we always hear, don't we, when our kids are young, when the baby has a nap, you nap. Oh, for God's sake, seriously, do you know how many jobs I've got to do when the baby had a nap all those years ago? So you're right, we can encourage them to, you know, and we probably do spend a lot of time encouraging them to take out a little bit of time for self-care, which is what I used to think of as the glass of wine. You know, I used to think of my self-care, but it actually would have been much harder to pause and think, what I actually need is I need help and I need support. Yes. But what you said earlier was really true as well. People aren't mind readers. So we can tend to get really fed up that we're not getting the support that we think we need and feel quite resentful, but we haven't made it clear. How do we do that?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. This is a skill. And I would say that actually half the battle is reconnecting with self, because we are distracted and disconnected left, right, and center by what that person needs, by that beeping gadget, by this pinging notification. Mm. You know, how seldom do we actually allow ourselves to tune inwards? And for a lot of people, that would be shame-inducing. So half the battle is seeing through these untruths that we've been told, that we must be selfless, that we can't be selfish, that we can't need others, that we can't focus on self. We've got to see through those things and question them, hold them up to the light. Once we've done that, once we've given ourselves permission to take a look, then we need to connect. What's going on? Where are we at? What do we need? And for so many people, we're so focused on the needs of others, we don't even know. We feel a bit lost. So there is a process of re-education. There's a reclaiming of our attention. There's becoming alive to our senses again. There's also a sense of, we need to reclaim the right to feel, because our emotions are cues to our human needs. So there's a scaffolding of skills. And that's why I wanted to create the seven steps to taking back our power, to sort of walk people through. There's this foundational skill. You've got to be able to direct your attention first before you can notice what's going on. And then once you've connected and you've noticed, now we need to build the skills that will help us feel safe and confident to actually give voice to what it is that we've observed. Mm. So I want to acknowledge it is challenging, but it is absolutely a skill that we can all learn.
Yeah. What so step one then is connecting with self.
Step
That's
one
really
is
important.
getting our mind on side. Okay, we've got to hold up to the like these self-limiting beliefs that if I give people nourishing practices, or if I say it's okay to lean on, like we're not going to do any of these things until we've held these beliefs up to the light. So it's getting our mind on side and making sure that our beliefs are contingent with what allows us to be healthy, whole individuals. And part of that is also noticing that there's a distinct difference between thoughts and self-talk. Thoughts come to us, we don't choose them. So it's okay to stop trying to massage them because you don't control them. However, we do control our self-talk. It does get automatic, but this is the starting point. We've got to get our self-talk on side so that we can actually start to heal our relationship with self.
So
So
how just
that is step
explain the
one.
difference though, because between some
Sure.
people would say, well, if I have a thought and it's, I'm not good enough, that is self-talk. Where's the
No,
difference?
no. The first thought that comes to you, you haven't chosen it. That's just something that's come out of thin air. What you then say to yourself in response to that thought, that is your self-talk. Okay? Fundamental difference. You don't control the first thing, but you do have influence over
How
how
you
you interact with
respond.
that first thought.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I think people don't, I think we underestimate just how damaging our self-talk can be. And I would suggest that negative, punitive, judgmental, and critical self-talk is a form of self-harm. And we need
Absolutely.
to learn how to speak to ourselves with dignity and respect.
I've mentioned a few times on this show that I'm a Hay House author, and there was an event with Cheryl Richardson and Louise Hay, which was absolutely amazing.
Oh,
And yeah, it was
amazing.
amazing. And but I always remember Cheryl Richardson talk, because as you know, Louise Hay does mirror work and encourages all to look in the mirror, which is not terribly British in fairness. But she was kind of saying that the reality is, the average, certainly the average woman, when she goes and looks in the mirror in the morning, before something important, let's say, for the sake of argument, if she were to speak out loud the self-talk, she'd probably be had for abuse, particularly if there was a child in the room. We say terrible things to ourselves. You're
Yes.
absolutely right. It's very harmful
Yeah.
because we forget that we're listening. And the
Yes.
interesting piece is, we would never say those to
No.
anyone else. Because
No.
generally, when you ask someone, do you think you're quite a kind person? Oh yeah, I'm really kind to other people. Probably you are. It's
Yeah.
really true. It's
It's,
fascinating, isn't it?
and it's such a, it's a fundamental starting point, isn't it? Because if you think about it, your self-talk is like the soundtrack of life. It's so ever present. So yeah, that's why I want to get our mind on side, but it's a little bit different to what people think. You know, it's not that first thought, it doesn't matter what that first thought is. And I think that can be really freeing because it can be a humdinger. I tell you what, I have the most ridiculous, catastrophic, toxic first thoughts. But that's just what the brain does. We don't have to eradicate it. We just, the key is don't invest your identity in that. You get to choose who you are.
So for people who are sort of brand new to this concept, then what's one of the quick reminders that they can use to help themselves not get back into that negative self-talk, that just to
Okay,
get out of the
so we need some
spiral?
circuit breakers. Yeah, I think that's as a psychologist, yoga teacher, PT, I really like somatic practices. I like these physical practices that give us something to anchor on, that bring us back to the moment. The one that I'd love to show is the face hug.
Okay, you have to describe it as well
Janie,
for anyone
do you want
who's
to try it?
experienced.
Do you want to
Yeah,
join me?
I will. I absolutely will. But you'll have to
We'll
describe it
describe
for
it.
anyone who's just listening rather than
Absolutely.
watching us.
So what we need to do to begin the face hug, we need to rub our hands gently together to create a little bit of warmth. And what we're going to do is very tenderly, and that is key, tenderly cradle our chin in our hands. So welcome to the face hug. There's a lovely sense of containment. Just noticing how nice it feels to be held. And with this gesture, we are saying to ourselves that we are deserving of kindness. That same compassion that we extend, the same kindness that we generously give to everyone else. It's not a transgression of our values to allow that to be turned inwards. It's actually a more authentic, complete expression of our values. And a couple of relaxed breaths there, just noticing how nice it feels
Yeah, I love
to
that.
be held.
Good
And what I
element.
notice is it is impossible to trash talk myself while I do
While
that.
you're doing it,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How you can literally use your mind, your body to
Your
affect your
body.
mind. Yeah, I
You
love
can,
it.
exactly.
Love
And if
it.
you can't just break out into a face hug, I get it. You might be in the middle of a meeting. We can always anchor ourselves with the hand on heart gesture. And I find that that does the same thing.
I suppose these tools are brilliant, aren't they, for when we're in that sort of overwhelm, that sort of anxiety mode, we're about to fight or flee or whatever, you know, because we get like that so often and we just need to bring ourselves back to balance. I mean, if someone is a really big worrier, you know, I suppose it's imperative, isn't it, to find tools to manage that, because you know what is worrying ultimately, it's pointless, isn't it? Utterly pointless.
It is. And for anyone that worries, I want them to be gentle with themselves. Because I think what worry speaks to is actually the fact that they have a giant heart. They care so much. So instead of it just staying as a worry, why don't we turn the worry into some kind of well wish or some kind of a prayer for what we want?
Yeah, an
So it's all
intention.
right to
Yeah,
have
I love
that
it.
thought. Again, so like a worried thought, it comes to you. You don't choose it. But instead of then just wallowing in this worry, we can say, I really don't want that to happen. What do I want? And I wish for that to happen. I send that person my best wishes. And it speaks to giant care. And isn't that a beautiful thing? We don't want to get rid of that. But instead of, being in the quagmire of worry, we can bathe in that beautiful reservoir of love and care.
Yeah,
Feels
I love
totally
it.
different, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. So just give us a quick overview of what's in the book then, in how to be selfish.
So, How to Be Selfish, it is a deep dive helping us understand why we've come to believe certain things about selfishness and selflessness. It challenges everything that we've been led to believe. So it's redefining our relationship with these things. We look at the cultural underpinnings as to why we feel as we do about focusing on self. So our gender conditioning, how we rear children, more modern messaging about resilience, gratitude, post-traumatic growth, which these concepts used in the right moments are fantastic, but used in the wrong moments, they can really silence people and make people feel really guilty for struggling. Once we've got a good snapshot of why we feel as we do, then we've got the chance to think and feel and choose differently. So the second part of the book is looking at this seven-step practice to helping us build the skills of self-advocacy so that we can have these difficult conversations, we can be more transparent, and we can finally receive.
Yeah, love it, love it. I must mention as well, I wish I'd had it in front of me, but you also wrote Self-care for winter. Yeah.
Yes.
So as that's very
Yes.
pertinent now, can you give us a couple of tips from
I
that
would
book?
love to give some tips to help us navigate the cold and dark months ahead. And if there's anything that
It
we
is
can
depressing,
do,
isn't it? Not having enough light. It honestly is. I really do find myself feeling so miserable.
you're absolutely spot on, Jenny. It has a tangible impact on our body mind. And when you look at how the plant and animal world respond to their environmental cues, why do us human beings expect ourselves to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed all year round without, like we're immune? The fact is, it has a really significant impact on us. But rather than just noticing all of those things that we don't like, which I think culminates in some kind of winter dread, I want to validate the things that we find challenging and acknowledge, yes, those things are hard, but let's also broaden our perspective to think about some of those things that we really love about this time of year. What are the joys unique to winter that we can savor? And just a little bit of gentle anticipation will really help us embark on winter feeling differently about it. I think it's about changing our relationship with it. But then we need a very specific toolkit, one that's going to help us compensate for the fact there is a lack of daylight, and that has a really tangible impact on serotonin, melatonin production, vitamin D, which has an impact on our mood, our immune health, how much energy you have. The fact is, we want to sleep more. We need more sleep in winter. So the toolkit that I've developed is to help us compensate for these things. But I think there are three broad tips that I can offer up, Jane, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Now, these three tips are going to help us honour the impulse to want to hibernate, but in a life-giving way, because we can't just shut down like the brown bear. Modern life won't let us do that, nor would it be good for us. We don't need to hibernate in that way. But there is that impulse to turn inwards, isn't there?
Yeah.
So my three suggestions would be, yes, let's hibernate, but let's not stagnate. So I think we probably need sort of like an alternation between a bit of cocooning, but also some exposure to daylight. We've got to still get out there. We need to keep moving our bodies. So hibernate, don't stagnate. My second suggestion is, yes, honour that deep desire for comfort, but can we comfort ourselves in ways that doesn't sabotage us? So let's broaden what we think of as comfort. It's not always what we eat and drink. Comfort comes in the form of loving touch, a weighted blanket, a layering of light in our homes. Fairy lights aren't just for Christmas. Please keep them up until April. Can we use scent? That's another way of giving comfort. And the final one, and this is really important, yes to retreating, but make sure you're not isolating yourself, because people need people. And it's fine if our social mojo looks different. It's all right if you don't want to go out of an evening, but how can we connect in different ways that makes sure that we're not vulnerable to loneliness?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, you're absolutely right. There are many joys of the winter months, aren't there? And, you know, just mentioning the lovely blankets and you know, which you're not going to have in the summer, right? In fact, there's the whole, is it called Hygge, the whole Scandinavian kind of tradition where everything is candles and blankets and and being cozy, really. It's literally being cozy. Fluffy socks, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Let's face it. So, I mean, the reality is I kind of moan about it, but by the same token, I would not want to live somewhere where there were no seasons. I really wouldn't.
It gives us rhythm and pulse, doesn't it, Janie?
Yeah, it really does.
We need this variation.
Yeah, we really do. And I think, you know, with everything you're saying, you know, it's totally my philosophy is that we have to put a spin on everything and ask what it is we do want, you know, rather than focusing on what we don't. That's ultimately it, isn't it? You know, that kind of, you know, okay, well, it's going to be winter, whether you like it or not. So let's focus on the good bits. That's really exciting. I think that those little thinking of those little pieces where you can, you know, as you say, nurture yourself. Tell us about the Nourish app.
Oh, so the Nourish app was created for mums by mums, and there's a free version. It's a really affordable app that has all sorts of nourishing practices for mums. So on there, I've contributed some yoga sequences, some mantras, some coping tools. There's a really gorgeous section of yoga nidras. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Jane.
Absolutely.
I've got yoga nidra.
I've got some too. Yeah, relaxation. Yes. For anyone who's not aware of it, it means you don't have to move at all.
You get to just lie back
just
and receive.
Rest.
Yeah.
In fact,
and if anyone
they
has
say
trouble
that it's
falling asleep, listen to a
perfect
yoga nidra. I fall asleep in every one. Honestly,
I know.
You're not meant to.
But
it doesn't
they
matter
say
if you
that
do.
Even like an hour of it is equivalent to like 4 hours kip or something. It's meant to be amazing.
Really deeply restorative. Yeah. Yes.
Great. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Yeah. Wonderful. So what's next for you then, Susie? Obviously, you're prolific in the books you've written. That's amazing how many books you've written. It's very cool. What else have you got going on, if that's not enough?
Oh, do you know what? I'm really excited to see How to Be Selfish land. So it's yet to hit the stores. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what blooms from that. It's my first book with Penguin. So I'm hoping there'll be an opportunity for more. I think what I loved most about this process is that I got to voice the audiobook for myself.
Time. You have to do that, don't you?
I've never
roast,
had
though.
That opportunity
It's a roast,
before.
Isn't it? How hard is it? Oh, it's very
really
annoying.
It's really challenging.
I know, isn't
but
it?
But what I really loved is that How to Be Selfish, there are love notes throughout it, and I loved reading those. And I think if I could create some kind of resource that is literally from start to finish, just a kind, nurturing, supportive voice, sharing something that you can anchor yourself on. So I'm wondering whether, some kind of project around feeling safe. I'm feeling drawn to do that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm open to where I'm drawn next as well. So this is exciting.
It is really exciting. And I just love the title. It's you know, it just puts that different spin on it, doesn't it? Because, you know, we do still think of the word selfish as, oh, that's nasty, you know, and oh, you mustn't be like that. Yes. But there is a completely different way of looking at it. And, you know, it took me years before I kind of understood the whole self-care piece. As I say, I used to get very confused into thinking that alcohol was my treat. And I had absolutely zero boundaries around saying yes. I would just say yes to everything and then hope that it wouldn't come around, you know.
Yes.
And you know, people just kind of, I think the more we can kind of catch on to this sooner, you don't have to be as old as I am before you finally kind of get, oh, for God's sake, you know, it is okay to say no. No is a complete sentence, in fact. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's not unkind to have limits.
Yeah, exactly.
This is human. Exactly. Human needs are not a nice to have. These are our human needs. These are our feelings. This is what it means to be human.
Totally. I suppose the difficulty for some people, sorry, I know we're kind of winding up, but I just thought of this. The difficulty for some people is that they it's so ingrained in them to be people pleasers that they almost don't know where to start with themselves. I remember some years ago I was doing some one-day retreats, and I remember asking the women who'd come, who were not part of my community. They'd just come, I think, because they wanted to do an in-person thing. And I just started off by asking, what is it that you want for you? And one by one, you know, they all said, oh, my mum to get better or my son to get into a certain school. And I said, no, I said, for you. And, oh, God, I mean, a couple of them burst into tears. They'd not been asked that question. They'd certainly not been thought about it properly for years and years and years. Because it's just when you're caught up in the minutiae of life and focused on everyone else and everything else, it does feel like, well, that would be a luxury I can't afford. To think about what I want for me. But it's key, isn't it? It's absolutely key because, you know, as you say, I mean, I know they're all cliches, but you actually can't fill from an empty cup. You just can't. Cliche or no cliche, happens to be true, right?
Yes. And if you think about how many other cups you've spent your entire life filling, why is it not okay for us to allow someone else to fill our cup too?
Keep giving.
I'm not saying be stingy and miserly. And stop caring for others. I'm not saying that for a minute. I am saying keep filling your cup, keep tending to others, but let's allow others to also top us up.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need that. They want to feel valued. They want to feel needed. They want to feel trusted.
Yeah.
We're actually doing them a disservice by saying, no, you're not welcome to.
Because the whole concept of kindness is good for you. The person giving you something will actually gets more, in fact, I think science shows, doesn't it?
It does.
Amazing.
It does.
Yeah, I love it. Fantastic stuff, Susie. Thank you so much for being my guest. So there's a whole bunch of books, but the brand new one is How to Be Selfish. I think while you're getting it, you can pick up Self-Care for Winter as well. Sounds like some fabulous tips in there. And do you want to give us a website, Susie, for people to check out anything else?
It's susiereading.co.uk, or come and hang out with me at Instagram. I put a love note up daily.
Nice.
I want them to feel like warm hugs.
Ah, cool.
And there's a beautiful community there. My love note is just one of the little nice bits. All the comments, there's so many kind exchanges in the comments. So come and hang out with me there. It's, again, just Susie Redding.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you, Susie. I shall see you, some of you anyways, Wednesday, 10th of December for Bossing a Sober Christmas. Some of you on Monday, the 15th of December, if you want to join us for Explore a Career as a Sober Coach. And pop that date in your diary, 2nd of January for setting your intentions for 26. Seems a little bit wrong, doesn't it, talking about January already? But, you know, there will be people who are planning literally right now. They're planning, you know, what they're going to do at the beginning of the new year. So I really hope that you will join me for that. Have yourself a fantastic festive season till the next time I see you.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.